Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, BPJ number 90. That's Bayis Panimi joint share number 90 for both men and women. We're talking about a book called Setting a Table for Two by Avram Peretz Friedman. And there's a chapter there that says the legs that hold up the table. And there are six principles in here. Normally a table has four legs. Here it has six legs, which is very interesting. But all six are extremely crucial. They're like the six midos that hold up the seventh, which is the table itself, which is a Shabbos, which is Malchus. But here's principle number one, the first leg. Accept the basic, unchangeable facts of your life, which is God knows what he is doing. I'm going to make a disclaimer right here before I even start. It is true, God always knows what he is doing. There are times, however, where for whatever reason Hashem decides that for hopefully it's just a short period of time, may Hashem save people from this type of suffering, that whether it's men, in most cases women, but it could be men too, go through Gehenim in their married state to an abuser, a physical abuser, or a psychological abuser, emotional abuser, verbal abuse, all types of abuse, terrible, terrible situations. That does happen, and we don't understand why that happens. Even then, God knows what he is doing. Although we can't make heads and tails as to why, and we need in those situations to help that person out, and they have to leave that toxic situation as quick as possible. So even though God knows what he is doing, that's something that we can't just simply accept. A marriage like that is not acceptable. And once we know about this, we have to do everything we can to end it, to put that person out of that type of danger. Unless there's other extenuating circumstances. But I have to say that disclaimer because everything we're talking here in this concept is not about such a person who is an abuser. We're talking about regular flawed people. Even seriously flawed people, but good people that are doing the best they can, but they have flaws and sometimes serious flaws. That's what we're talking about here. And over there, we have to accept those unchangeable facts in our lives. Here, God knows what he is doing. And over here, we don't say that I could have succeeded in serving Hashem and being happy if I was given a different wife or a different husband. That runs counter to the conviction that Hashem is running the show and he knows what he is doing. And this situation is tailor-made for you. And barring that one disclaimer, which we said before. Barring that disclaimer that we said before. This is not written in the book, but it's very clear. You have to use your common sense. But 95% of you listening to this, hopefully it's more than 95%, are not in an actual, real, abusive marriage. In that situation, this is the mahalach. This is the opportunity to succeed. This is your chance for greatness. Don't think that you can't do anything about your situation. You know, I ended up with such a shlamazel or whatever you think, you know, my mazel. If I had married someone more exciting, I could improve my marriage. But what can I do? I'm married to a real shlamazel of a man, of a lady. Not true. Your situation is just what the doctor ordered for you. It's exactly what your neshama needs. Again, you have to be very, very sensitive when you're talking to somebody in any type of pain. It's really for everyone to look at themselves in the mirror and recognize this. Chovos Halavos in Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh, chapter 3. It's good to read that chapter. It has 30 examples of things a Yid is supposed to think about it. This is number 13. And he says over there, do not rely on excuses, on the ifs and perhaps. Do not say that if I obtained such a degree of wealth or wisdom, then I would have discharged that what I owe to the service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is nothing but lies, this type of logic. We can never understand Hashem's ways, but we can speculate sometimes why Hashem put a couple together. Very often, you know, the idea being, even secular people, the psychologist and author Terence Real, we gave some lectures in the Bais Pnimi Joint Shiurim of his wisdom, and he sensed himself that there's some unfinished business, unresolved issues or wounds or frustrations or fears that we develop in our youth and we marry our unfinished business. So in other words, very often, to reach Hashlemus, Hashem says, I'm not letting you bury or ignore your unfinished business. He wants us to confront it, so we resolve it and we heal it. And we marry the person who forces us to confront our unresolved fears, our unresolved hurts. And in some way, very often, the person you married raises those same issues and triggers all over again, but it's a little different. Because this time you can overcome them. You overcome them by looking deep into yourself, talk to Hashem about it, and work on yourself and look in the mirror and see what you need to fix, what you need to improve, and work on it. If you think this is not the case and that you could do better by trading in your spouse for a different model, the odds are that you still will remarry somebody with the same stuff going on, same fear, same hurts, in the same exact way. This has happened time and time and time again. So it's very important to understand this. It's a hard lesson, this first one. It's not so easy to accept. It's not so easy to accept. The truth is, I'll be honest with you, you know, I've been married for 28 plus years. I had two big chassadim that took place before I got married that helped me to deal with the normal differences between two personalities when they get married. Number one was Rav Avigdor Miller himself, either from a tape or a live shiur, I don't remember. But he basically, in many shiurim, described marriage in a very, very unromantic, unideal, mundane type of description, which at the time I heard it, I was very upset, to be honest with you, because again, I was sort of a romantic, thinking pie in the sky, marriage fulfills and is one and is harmonious all the time, you know, at least that's the ideal, which is a healthy thing to a certain extent. But he blew it all out and basically talked about the smelly clothing and the laundry and the floor and all these sort of unpleasant, mundane aspects of marriage, which at the time that he said that, I sort of was disappointed or disillusioned, you know, because I had a higher ideal of what marriage is supposed to look like. And he didn't disagree, by the way. Of course, you aim for the ideal to make the mundane and make it holy and make it more uplifting and make it more beautiful. But that actually helped me a lot. It put a certain realism in my expectation. So when I finally did get married and I noticed those similar problems that he brought out, that's going to take place inevitably when you have two human beings living with each other, and then I saw it was much less painful because I knew, oh, this is what he was talking about. You could overcome it, you could work through it, it could get better. but at least I knew what it was. And my second chesed was that I learned a lot about personality types and differences. When I was 19 years old, till I got married at 24. So at the time I was 24, I knew a lot about that. I realized, because of those books that I read and the knowledge that I absorbed, that many of the clashes, quote-unquote, between me and my wife is simply that we are different personalities, have a different way of looking at things, different ways how to handle emotion and thought. And that helped a lot, too. So I'm just telling all of you out there, whether you're married a long time or a short time, if your husband or wife is an outright abuser, that's a different story. But if they're not and they just have bad habits, but the inside of them is, usually what happens is that there's insecurities. It's a good person, but the insecurities lead them to unhealthy behaviors, whether it's anger, whether it's other types of things. But they're good people inherently. That's what we're talking about. That's 95% of the time. And in those cases, once you learn about what those insecurities are, once you learn to understand that this is a good person, it just has to work through these hurdles, and you understand what they are, it changes the whole dynamic of any marriage when you realize it's not lahachis. It's good people struggling along their way, and we simply need skills and we need education. Once we know that, and we believe that Hashem knows what he is doing, we have the blueprint to not only make the marriage more manageable, quote-unquote, less painful, quote-unquote, but really, truly beautiful. You work through the problems, and you come out on the other side stronger and having a more deeper relationship. So that's principle number one. Principle number one, which is not an easy thing because it's really accepting Hashem's will, that he knows what he is doing. And he gave you this spouse for your perfection, tailor-made for you, even though you may many days be very, very frustrated about that. You learn to accept it. Again, with the exception of outright abuse. Over there, the attitude is, yes, we don't understand why Hashem put a person to be a victim of such a situation. But once we know what it is, Hashem is telling us, Ashtadlus is, pull that person out. Save that person. If you could get the abuser the help that they need, that's a separate thing. It's too complex to discuss in a shir such as this right now. But that's the exception to the rule. Most of you listening know that's not the case within your own marriages, no matter how flawed you think your husband or wife is. Principle number two is to commit yourself to the work ahead. Again, in our society, we rebel against this principle as well. But we cannot fool ourselves. There's no shortcuts. There's no quick fixes. There's no superficial strategy that could create a permanent marital success. Most people, unfortunately, believe that a good relationship is spontaneous and takes no effort. And they feel that if you have to work on it, in this line of reasoning, that means something must be wrong. But nothing can be further from the truth. A successful healthy marriage requires constant effort and attention. No way around it. No complacency. No laziness. If you have that, it'll sap even the best relationships. You try to coast, then you're toast, he says, which I like. It's a good line. This is also the phoniness of people that make themselves crazy when they see something doesn't work in their relationship. This man is not my Zivik. This husband, this wife is not my Zivik. It's nonsense. We're not Nevi'im. Hashem tells us, if it is your Zivik, your true Zivik, you exhibit bad behaviors, you could kill your own Zivik and kill your own marriage with your own true, true Zivik. You could blow it into smithereens. And if it's quote-unquote not your true Zivik, whatever that's supposed to mean, your neshama is not perfectly clicking from the same sheresh, however your mekubal wants to, your daily slot machine mekubal wants to tell you, is also nonsense. Because there's Hashem above everything else that tells you, you work on your midos and do the best you can and you turn to me. I could give you a beautiful marriage. Don't worry about zivigahin, zivigaher. Good marriages just don't happen automatically. You have to make them happen. It's all Hashem, but Hashem wants you to do your shtadlis to make that happen. Resolve every day, every single day. Hard work every single day. It's not a casual undertaking. Not something you yaitza once and then you putter. And you can't shy away from the task. You have to keep working at it. You'll be married for a lifetime, and you have to put in a lot of effort. And the effort is worth it. Yogata umatsasa tamin. Yogata umatsasa tamin. It's a healthy thing to have that. Success doesn't come from a few dramatic gestures. You gave her who knows what vacation. You gave him who knows what. It's many, many small acts of love. Many, many small acts of love daily, whether in the mood, whether not in the mood. The moods that we have is not our God. That's avodah zarah, something I had to learn. I'm very attached by nature to my intuitions and feelings, which is a good thing to a certain degree, but not when it's contrary to the Torah or to what you're supposed to be doing. You don't just connect with your husband or wife when I'm, quote-unquote, in the mood. The mood is avodah zarah at that point. We have to self-discipline ourselves and take our mood and throw it in the garbage. And whether we're in the mood or not in the mood, we'll be a mensch. And with that, Hashem, over time, will give you schar, that you'll have warm feelings and it'll come more naturally. And those moods will get better and better. But when they're not, that's when you have to be your biggest mensch. When you're not in the mood, when your husband or wife is more irritable than normal, but you love them because you see their good qualities in them and you work through it. Again, with that one disclaimer, and don't judge yourself whether your husband or your wife is an abuser or anything like that. You mavar it from the outside. If that's the case, in that 5%, my whatever the percentage situation, if it's workable, not workable, you let it, you get an objective outside person to evaluate that. But again, 95%+ of the time, even if bad midos are shown to a very strong degree by either husband or wife or both, it's doable usually and workable. When you have these six principles, the first two is accepting the person, and that Hashem knows what he's doing and putting you together, and you have to work through it, and you'll come out on the other side in a very, very good place. And you commit to working hard, working very hard. Bracha natzlacha.